Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking once again with Sean Folkson. He's the CEO of Knight Food Holdings, Inc. Stock symbol is NGTF, over the counter. Sean, welcome.
Thanks so much, Jack. Happy to be here.
Sean, listen, it's great to have you back here. In a few weeks, Knight Food is going to be a featured presenter at our next Superstock conference. That's November 14th. So anybody that's listening now, they could tune in. And today's interview is really just to give investors kind of a sneak preview, and they should definitely sign up for the live stream event for November 14th. So, Sean, now a lot has happened with Knight Food since you introduced the story to our audience, which was I think just about 10 months ago now, maybe a little bit less. But just to kind of recap, at the time you were just about to launch your ice cream product. It was still just a little bit beyond the concept stage, but it wasn't on shelves yet.
Right.
And the stock back then, I think, was around in the 20-cent range. Then you started the distribution. You started the rollout. The stock soared to 92 cents. And, as the distribution rolled out, the stock, basically increased 400%. Now, what I find compelling from an investor's perspective is you're in all these distribution points, but the stock has come back to in the 20-cent range. So it's kind of like, there's that expression on Wall Street where investors, they buy the rumor, they sell the news. So I think right now where the stock is, it's kind of, it gives investors a second chance, another opportunity to get in on this situation here. So, Sean, for anybody that's new to the story right now, they're listening for the first time, can you tell them what is Knight Food all about?
Well, Knight Food is really about solving a huge problem in the lives of over 100 million consumers across the country. And what that problem is unhealthy nighttime snacking. And what we know is that most consumers snack at night, not just most, but like it's in the percentage-wise, it's in the 80s, like 83-85%, depending on the age range. Most people are snacking at night, and the most popular choices are not healthy choices. It's cookies, it's chips, it's candy, and of course, it's ice cream, right? And what we want to do is we want to help solve that problem for people, because the snacking behavior that we see is not just a bad habit. It's not a pattern that people fall into. It's literally human nature. People are driven by biology. I'm not going to get into all the science, Jack, but there's so many studies out there. And basically what happens is at the end of the day, our cravings are stronger. Our appetite is stronger. The same amount of food gives us less satisfaction. Our willpower is weaker. Emotionally, we feel like we need like an emotional hug, right? So people end up, we get these cravings. We can't resist them. We reach for the least healthy stuff. We don't stop eating when we could or should. And what happens is not only are people doing these things that are obviously unhealthy just because of what you're eating, but then it has a direct impact on your sleep, right, which is a really critical function. So, we've seen all these patterns, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to solve this problem for people. And it is a real problem that, when we talk to people, and I've spoken to over 10,000 people in supermarkets about their nighttime snacking. And when I ask people about it, you can see their shoulders slump, their head looks down, and, they feel like a little bit of guilt when you ask them, hey, do you ever snack at night? Because, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people really don't have a good answer to that question, and they know they shouldn't be doing it. And that's what we're trying to do is really give people a way to make it through the night, give themselves a little bit of a way to satisfy those cravings, get that emotional fulfillment and everything else, but without really wrecking your diet or killing your sleep.
And so basically you have these different ice cream flavors right now.
Yeah, so we've got 8 flavors that are currently on the market, and very popular, very well received. It's the best tasting, creamiest, healthy ice cream on the market. A few years ago, this whole wave of healthy ice creams started hitting, and Halo Top is the brand that I think probably most people are familiar with, but there's a bunch of others. There's Enlightened, there's Arctic Zero, and there's a bunch of others. But, you know, most of them, in my opinion, they don't taste very much like ice cream at all. And I think people have been tolerating them. And, you know, Night Food has come along and not only delivered the sleep benefits that we have because we were formulated by sleep experts and knowing that people are snacking at night, what should we put into the ice cream? What should we leave out of the ice cream for better sleep? But also the most important thing is it just tastes much better.
It's interesting. Now, you know, Night Food has gotten, you know, a tremendous amount of media attention over the last, you know, I don't know, 6-7 months, you know, as the product has been hitting the shelves. I think you were on, was it the Today Show, the Oprah magazine? Mm-hmm. What is it, I mean, like, what is it that they find most compelling about what you're doing?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm not a media expert, but it seems to me that they realize that this is interesting to their readership, right? Why does the media put anything on? I mean, they're serving their audience. And, you know, what we find is that when people hear about Night Food or learn about it, it's immediately compelling, especially if you're one of the 85% of the people that's snacking at night and eating unhealthy stuff. It'll stop you dead in your tracks, right? I mean, who doesn't like ice cream and who doesn't want better sleep? So you put those two things together and it's kind of irresistible to the media. And, you know, certainly we're expecting more media coverage as we, and you left out, I mean, you mentioned the Today Show, you mentioned Oprah magazine. And I mean, there's so many others. I mean, you know, USA Today and the Wall Street Journal and Yahoo Finance and Parents magazine and the Washington Post. I mean, it's really unbelievable the publicity that we've gotten, and most of it is inbound. It's media outlets contacting us because they want to include us or do a story because they find what we're doing is just that compelling.
Interesting. Now, Sean, from my perspective, and I guess from investors that are looking at the stock, you know, I think what's most compelling is about Night Food is, you know, this possibility of a new, you know, billion-dollar brand. Okay, so, you know, in recent years, we've seen, you know, with the help of the internet, social media, there's been a huge number of, you know, these consumer brands and products, you know, that have, you know, catapulted, you know, like almost overnight from basically zero into, you know, billions of dollars in sales.
Yep.
And I think you mentioned when we first spoke back in January that I think was it. A couple of examples in sort of in the ice cream area. So can you talk about, you know, some of those brands and food products? What did they do, you know, sort of to get into that, you know, billion-dollar club? And what are you doing to follow that same roadmap?
That's a great question. And you said something while you were asking the question. You said they, you know, they got there overnight. And it might seem like it happened overnight, but – you know, we know that it hasn't. And in fact, you know, Halo Top, which is, I think, the most recent and best example, you know, they had, you know, bumps along the road and problems. And, you know, I've read up on them. There's tons of articles out there for anybody that wants to read up on them. But they're the closest one. And we'll talk about them in a minute. But there was also Talenti, which is another ice cream startup that sold to Unilever for rumored to be well over $1 billion. And, you know, you've got brands like RX Bar and Perfect Bar. And I don't know. I mean, there's just so many consumer goods brands if you study the space. And, you know, but the interesting thing here is that, you know, we believe that this category is coming, this concept that I touched on earlier about nighttime nutrition. You know, there's a market research firm out there called Mintel. There's a market research firm out there called IRI. And these are two of the biggest, you know, consumer trend followers, not setters, but consumer trend followers and predictors. And, you know, they believe that nighttime nutrition is coming. Mintel identified sleep-friendly food and beverage as one of their trends to come in the coming years. Nestle, which is the largest food and beverage company in the world, has stated earlier this year that, hey, we know consumers are not happy with the fact that they're eating so much junk at night and they're looking for better options. So when you've got IRI and Mintel and Nestle all pointing to it, I mean, look, I'm 100% confident this category is coming. I've been 100% confident the category is coming for years, and it's really just a matter of when. You know, I view it as it's inevitable, right? Because you've got three trends converging. You've got, you know, people are sleeping less and less, right? And yet they want more and more sleep quality, right? Because they're all tracking their sleep. They got their Fitbit or whatever. You know, experts in the media are hammering away at the importance of good sleep and the link between nutrition and sleep. And now consumers, more than ever, they're seeking foods out with functional benefit, right? It's not enough to be delicious, right? Which night food is, but, you know, so are Ben and Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs. But people want something more. So these trends tell us that a tipping point is coming. We don't know exactly when, you know, and we're still going to have our ups and downs. And, you know, you mentioned overnight success, and I referred to Halo Top. You know, anybody who studied them, you know, Halo Top was around for a couple of years. In 2013, they did sales of about $230,000, which is about what we did last quarter. You know, they were struggling with sales. They had lost some big accounts, and everybody knows how it ended, right? I mean, within a couple of years, they were selling $300 million worth of ice cream a year. They were rumored to be in talks with Unilever for a buyout at a valuation of $2 billion. So, you know, we don't know exactly what our path holds, right? It could be entirely different. It could be similar. Every company has its ups and downs and its bumps in the road. But if you have the vision to see far enough out onto the horizon and you can see that the category of sleep-friendly nutrition is coming, then, you know, we try to figure out what is that going to look like and how is that going to play out. You know, overnight, not really. I mean, even if we were to, you know, get to that point tomorrow, I mean, we've been at this for years, so it never really happens overnight. And but we have studied, right? We've studied what those other companies have done. In particular, you know, I keep talking about Halo Top, and you know, we're executing certain pages from their playbook, modified for our situation. And you know, we think having been able to learn and observe and study, I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, what you mentioned there is very compelling. I mean, you said that they did about 230 grand in, was it 2013, and you did that yes. last quarter, right? Just in the quarter, right? So, and it's interesting. Again, I think people, again, look, we're, you know, kind of, look, you're essentially in the penny stock space, so you have speculative buyers and a lot of stuff going on in the market. You have short sellers. There's a lot of characters in this market. And so, you know, the stock took off, and maybe, you know, people kind of, you know, that first quarter of positive sales wasn't enough for them. Maybe they had, you know, dreams of, you know, millions in sales, and, you know, the stock got beat up. But again, they need to kind of, I think, keep the perspective of that picture of exactly like what you mentioned with Halo Top is, look, you can do a couple hundred grand in a quarter, and then, you know, 6 months later, the number could be, you know, 10x, 10 times that, or whatever it is. So it's there's tremendous upside in the space. And you know, I think you also, you know, you sent me a couple of pictures, you know, before we started the interview of I think it was what are the pictures? It was like from I guess, what is it? It's like a service you use that goes around and takes pictures of freezers, you know, at supermarkets.
Yeah, just to make sure that the product is properly stocked, properly faced, and things like that. Right. Like an audit, like a shelf audit.
Yeah, what I find interesting is your night food. Anybody who's looking at these pictures, and you know, we'll kind of post some of those in the video version of this interview. Anybody who's looking, they could see you're right next to, in the middle of all those big brands. I mean, it's right there.
And, well, that's where the ice cream goes.
No, but you're literally like not, right next to.
You know, they're not going to put us. They're not going to put us with the Cheerios and Captain Crunch.
Right, but literally, like you're right next to the Talenti and the. Yeah. I mean, it's like right the you know, it's prime position.
It's unheard of, Jack. It's unheard of for, and I haven't really spoken to this, for a startup brand to launch into some of the supermarkets. I mean, you know, we've already. We're already on shelf in four of the top 50 supermarket chains in the country, including two of the top 10, which is Meijer and then Harris Teeter, which is an autonomous division of Kroger. And, you know, we've got more top 50 chains bringing us on. I mean, you know, we're out there in meetings. We've gotten a couple of yeses already. And, you know, but this is not the way it normally goes. I mean, normally what happens is a brand will start, you know, in some independent stores. And we're starting to tackle that space as well. But they'll start with some independent stores, mom and pop stores, and, you know, get twos and fives and tens here and there. And then you kind of grow that from the ground up. And we went at it, you know, kind of with a different game plan. And, you know, it really is, you know, a different animal. It's a different way to attack the market, you know, to kind of hit these huge supermarkets first. And, you know, we think it's going to be the right strategy for us. We think it's going to help us grow a lot faster and, you know, cover a lot more ground and be a lot more efficient. But just to get in, you know, is such an accomplishment, and that the buyers see the size of the market that we're addressing and the potential. Because if you're just going in there saying, well, our ice cream is more delicious than somebody else's ice cream, that's not a very compelling story to the consumer. Even if it is a delicious ice cream, there's a lot of delicious ice cream, right? So, yeah, I'm sorry, you were going somewhere with that. But yes, we're right there. We're right next to Halo Top and Ben & Jerry's and Talenti and Haagen-Dazs. And I guess those are probably, you know, the biggest ones, but that's where we are.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, when I look at at those pictures, though, to me, I'm looking at the package, at the night food package. You know, and again, I've told you this before, I think your packaging is great. It has that sort of those cartoonish, I call it like a cartoon character. It's like these, you know, fun type of characters that you have.
Well, that's the Crave Monster,
Jeff.
The Crave Monster.
Right.
We took all the science that we talked about at the beginning, you know, the cravings and the appetite and the willpower, and we personified that as the Crave Monster. And the Crave Monster comes out at night, and that's what kind of makes you, you know, and in a lot of cases, people can ruin a whole day of healthy eating in 7 or 8 minutes, you know, while they're watching The Bachelorette. And, you know, we personified that as the Crave Monster. And night food obviously can satisfy the Crave Monster.
But, you know, when I see that package, I don't even think, you know, I think maybe, you know, people when they buy ice cream, if they haven't heard of it before, I mean, they kind of buy it based on the packaging, I think. I mean, maybe they're curious, they want to try it. So, you know, 2 years from now, you know, you might discover that most of the buyers, you might have a massive audience that they don't even know anything about nighttime. They're just buying it because, you know, they like the package and they like the taste and they return for it and they tell their friends. So it might be one of those types of things, which is always a plus. What's interesting to me is how many shares outstanding do you have?
About 56 million.
56 million. So roughly the market cap is right now about what, $12 million?
Somewhere on there.
Somewhere. So $12 million is what somebody's essentially paying for the business now. You know, they're making a $12 million bet that this could be, you know, $1 billion+, you know, upside, which to me, based on the distribution, everything you have now, I mean, I guess people, they kind of, you know, need to do their own research, but to me, that sounds pretty compelling. I mean, it's pretty low valuation here. So I guess the big question is, I think what most investors are interested in is, you know, they're focused on this distribution. That's kind of the big question. You know, how is kind of the supermarket rollout going? Like, what's, you know, how many points of distribution are you in now? That I think that's what investors would want to know.
Yeah, it's about 500 points of distribution at this time. And, you know, most of that, about half of that is Harris Teeter. Then we've got Meijer, which is over 100 stores, and Lowe's Foods, which is about 80 stores, and then Woodman's and some other independents and things like that. And, you know, we've already gotten, I don't know if I want to say commitments, but we've gotten yeses from a couple of other, you know, decent-sized chains. And, you know, we've got a lot more meetings. You know, it's an interesting thing this year. A lot of the timing of the meetings has been pushed back a little bit later. Nestle, we haven't talked about this, and it's not really, I don't think, particularly relevant to the investors, except for those that are kind of hanging on every meeting, which, you know, is some people. Nestle, earlier this year, they decided to do away with their direct store distribution network, and it's created a little bit of a headache for these supermarket chains because they need to find slots in their own warehouses for these Nestle, you know, is huge, and they've got a ton of ice cream SKUs in every supermarket. So it throws things off. But, you know, we're expecting, I mean, I've got meetings now that are scheduled November. I'm going to be in Chicago actually tomorrow. We've got meetings in December. We've got meetings in January already set up. So it's kind of a different schedule. Normally, most of this would be done in October. And by then, you've got kind of a quicker path to reset. So this whole year has been a little bit wacky, this whole second half of the year in the ice cream category. But, we've had a lot of meetings already. We've gotten some yeses. We're still waiting for some answers. Look, Jack, I mean, we've had people who said, you know, we don't want to put the product in this year. Nobody that we've met with yet, but there were people, honestly, that wouldn't even meet with us. You know, we'll see you next year. We'll see you in June. We'll see you in April. So, you know, everybody's on their own schedule. Everybody's on their own clock. And, the point is that within 1 year, 2 years, we're expecting to be in just about every supermarket, every place where people go, you know, to buy their ice cream and to buy their weekly groceries. You know, that's the path that we think we're on here.
Okay. Now, I think one thing I saw recently, you started selling in some other, you know, distribution channels. You're like in hotels now. How did that come about? What kind of expectations do you have for that market? And are there other, I don't know if the word is non-traditional, but other kind of non-traditional distribution points that you're looking at?
Well, there's the two main ones that we're interested in right now is hotels, which I think is really, really interesting, and I'll circle back on that. And the other one is college campuses, where there seems to be a tremendous amount of interest, which makes sense when you think about it. And we recently secured distribution with a distribution partner that is I guess the nation's largest distributor of snacks and beverages to those types of non-traditional verticals. And, you know, the thing about hotels, which is interesting, is that, you know, the hotels have been battling for decades now, trying to promise the best night's sleep to their guests. I mean, if you think back, and anybody can Google, if they want, hotel bedding wars.
Oh, right, with the mattresses. Yeah,
the mattresses, right. Every hotel. So, if you think back 20, 25 years, even in a decent hotel, you know, you'd have a box spring and a mattress. Now you've got the Sleep Number beds, you've got the Dream pillows and all these things. I mean, these hotels have spent, you know, literally billions of dollars when you look at all the different chains, each trying to one-up the other. And I think it's really interesting. I think it's really compelling for a hotel to be able to, the ads are always in the elevator or, you know, on the little stand-up cards. Hey, you know, we thought of everything for better sleep.
Oh, wow.
You know, we even have sleep-friendly ice cream in the freezer for you.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's not about whether they're going to sell. And I think they will.
That's very clever.
It's still really – what's that?
That's very clever. I mean, it's a great tie-in.
Yeah. I mean, so for the hotel to make that promise to their customer base and to their guests, they can say that. And, you know, will they sell more pints? Hopefully they'll sell some more pints, but it's not even about the amount of ice cream volume that they have, which is big, but it's about signaling to their guests that they have left no stone unturned. They're paying full attention to detail, and they want you to have every resource possible to get the best night's sleep possible.
Wow. I'm afraid to ask what they're going to be selling this for in the hotel. Maybe like $20 a pint.
No. I mean, right. So in the mini bar, things are really expensive. I don't know. You know, we do have some hotel distribution already, and I don't know that it's necessarily – you know, way out of whack. I would think at the most probably $5.49 or $5.99 a pint. Okay. I could be wrong about that. And, you know, we sell it to the distributor for the same price, regardless of where it ends up. where they sell it. So I don't actually know for sure, but that is something that I'm curious about. But I would guess in $5.49 or $5.99 a pint.
So which hotels are you in now?
Well, I mean, it's isolated. So I know there were some, I think, I don't want to get this wrong. I know for sure there were some Staybridge Suites up in Michigan, which is Staybridge is a brand banner that's owned by Intercontinental. I think Hilton Garden Inn, we were in a few of those. And I don't remember the other one, and I don't want to accidentally say the wrong thing. So it's better left unguessed. But I know for sure Staybridge Suites, and I'm 99% sure that we're in some Hilton Garden Inns as well.
And this is through like a, this is like a specialty distributor that goes to just hotels that, you've got this through?
Well, no, they're a specialty distributor, but they distribute to, you know, hospitality, they distribute to college campuses, theaters, you know, so when you go into the movie theater and you're buying your M&Ms or whatever, you know, they buy it from somewhere. So this is the nation's largest distributor that services all of these non-traditional, you know, corrections facilities and hospitals and things like that. That's our distributor.
So what other markets, what other like non-traditional markets do you plan to get into over the next year?
I don't think, I mean, other than, you know, if somebody were to make a compelling case to me that there's something else out there that makes sense, I would listen to it. But, you know, I don't really see us necessarily in prisons or, you know, or movie theaters as pints, you know. I mean,
right.
It could be interesting at some point when we get really mature to have single serve ice cream in movie theaters if people are at the movie at night. But that's kind of a stretch. I mean, I think hotels and college campuses and really, Jack, when you're in every supermarket in the country, you know, that's probably enough.
It's icing on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is for us right now, it's a really interesting way. These non-traditional markets, especially the hotel thing, it's almost as much of a way to get some branding and some awareness up. You know, if we're able to sign a deal with one of the big hotel chains and they're trumpeting us out, I mean, think about the amount of publicity that chain would get, right? We were just on the Today Show a couple of days ago. We were in Oprah Magazine a couple of months ago. Right. If a hotel chain comes out and says, look, we're so focused on your sleep, we're going to put in sleep friendly ice cream. Right. I think the whole travel industry, the whole travel media would make a big point of it. You know, they would get a ton of free publicity from it. So for us, it's, you know, like I said, I mean, yes, we think it's going to be good revenue and we will move some volume through there. But that's not going to be the bread and butter. I mean, the bread and butter is going to be, you know, people buying the ice cream in their local supermarket and keeping it at home in their freezer.
Okay. So, Sean, let's kind of recap. What are your goals for Knight Food over the next, let's call it 6 to 12 months? Like, what are the key milestones you're looking at?
Well, certainly, you know, we're going to be growing distribution. We know we're going to be adding some chains here. We don't know exactly how many or how many stores that might be. You know, we're expecting it to be thousands. But it, you know, we don't know, and we're not going to set any firm deadlines now. You know, we've seen that the way things go in this space, you know, you can kind of focus more on the big picture. Like I said, you set your eyes out to the horizon. But if you try to predict what's going to happen by next Tuesday or a week from Thursday, you know, you can get made to look pretty foolish. So, you know, I think that even when you say 6 to 12 months, you know, the answer is we want to grow revenue. We want to grow points of distribution. We want to grow awareness, grow the brand. Grow our profile and really make sure that at any point along the way we are, and this is the amazing thing, Jack, and you know, nobody thinks of it like this, but here's this burgeoning billion-dollar category. I see it as a billion-dollar category because think about it. Americans combine to spend over $50 billion a year on snacks just between dinner and bed, okay? Snacks consumed between dinner and bed. So they're spending $1 billion a week. This to me is a $1 billion category, this nighttime nutrition, sleep-friendly nutrition, whatever you want to call it. And we're the only company with a product on the market, right, that addresses this thing that Mintel said a couple of years ago is the next big thing. And Nestle is right now saying, hey, we know consumers want better nighttime snacks. So we are the leader in this category. Now, right now, the category is as big as we are, right? If we did, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars last quarter, that's how big the category was. But you know what? At some point, you know, yes, we're certainly going to be growing, but at some point.
So you are the category. You're 100%
the
category.
We're the category. Okay. We're a category of one. But what's going to happen is once somebody else wants to come into the category, I think our strategic value goes through the roof, because whoever wants to come in, they're either going to come in as an acquirer or they're going to come in as a competitor, which means now that somebody else now to compete with that company that's entered the space, they could then acquire us because we would be the other brand, the leading brand. So the fact that we are out there pioneering this category that feels inevitable. Look, people might think the category is never going to happen. It's ridiculous. And that's okay, right?
It's already happened. People, it's there now.
Well, right. But they may think it's never going to be viable. It's never going to get to a certain volume. And those people would be considered non-believers. And then believers would say, huh, okay, 85% of people snack at night. The most healthy, the most popular choices are all junk. Here's guys that are saying that people want better snacking. Here's Mintel, here's Nestle, and here's Night Food led by Sean Folkson, which is saying, hey, we can give people better choices. We've got sleep experts. We've got Dr. Michael Bruce, who's America's leading, you know, most prominent sleep expert. We've got Dr. Michael Grander, Dr. Lauren Brock. So we've got this team, and we're saying, hey, we're solving this problem for the country. And the believers are looking at this and saying, man, how can this thing not be a huge category, right? How can you not capture enough consumers with a great product like we have and make this work? So you've got the non-believers, and then you've got the believers.
And at the bottom line, there was right now somebody, you know, essentially they're paying just, you know, any investor looking at this, they're basically paying $12 million to own the category leader in this space.
Well, that's the reality, and that's the facts.
It's interesting. So, I mean, for at some point, this is going to be become very interesting once the revenues start expanding. Maybe there might be a potential strategic acquirer that could come along. So at obviously at a higher price point. So Sean, on that note, I want to thank you again, and look forward to hearing more from you, seeing the presentation at the next Superstock, a live stream November 14th. Anybody that's listening to this interview now, they're welcome to go on our site and register it for free. They can check out the presentation and also ask questions live. Hopefully their questions will be better than mine. So Sean, again, thank you.
Thanks, Jack.